wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4 and reading from verse 1 to verse 18. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and the wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret trouble thee, tell me the visions of my dreams that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwell in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whosoever he will, and set it up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. At the end of chapter 3, we once more saw the sovereignty of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, having been thrown into a fiery furnace that was heated 7 times more than normal, they were fully clothed and bound, but they were unharmed. However, those who threw them into the furnace were killed by the heat that radiated from the furnace. They, fully bound, clothed in the furnace, were unharmed. But those who threw them in, by the heat that radiated, they were killed. In Isaiah 43 and verse 2 we read, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And though the rivers, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. They experienced the truth of that verse. Nebuchadnezzar, we read, was astonished that the three friends were alive. But he was even more astonished because there was a fourth person with them, and the fourth person was also alive. He stated that the fourth person was like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar, addressing the three friends as the servants of the Most High God, called them to come out of the furnace. And on the closer inspection, it was confirmed that the fire did not have any effect upon them. There was no sign or smell of burning having gone through the fiery furnace. We read that Nebuchadnezzar praised the friends for their faith in their God and acknowledged that there was no other God who could do what their God had done. The same God that we today worship and adore. A wind of change was blowing that caused a change of heart. He gave an order that if anyone and anything and any said anything against the friend's God, they would be destroyed. The wind of change. Before, he had ordered that everybody should worship his God. Now, he was saying that if anyone said anything against the God of three friends, they would be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar has witnessed the signs that told of the greatness of the Most High God, the God of heaven, an experience that led to the change of heart. Worth noting that it was the God of heaven. The God that they worshipped were the gods of the earth. However, he did not acknowledge that the God of the three friends was the only God to be worshipped. A change from prison to promotion. The friends were once again employed by the king. And something that we are encouraged to remember, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, them that honour me, I will honour. If we honour God in our daily lives, then he will honour us. An encouragement and a challenge. Which brings us to chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar's second dream, the ruined tree. The chapter, as I did my preparation, lends itself, or I think that it lends itself, to two parts. And the first part we'll be looking at today is verses 1 to 18. Different people, when they look at passages, they see different things. And as I say, to me, the passages lends itself to two sections. And I trust that as we go through today and the next section, you will see why I chose to put it into two sections. Nebuchadnezzar's change of heart is seen in his address to those under his authority, those who belong to the Babylonian kingdom. We read that he was well established, an establishment, if you like, courtesy of God's blessing. He was the king of the great Babylonian kingdom. It could be said that God had revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar through different incidents. He had witnessed the sovereignty and the power of God. He had something important that he wanted to share with those under his authority. Something that he wanted them to know. The result, his proclamation. One might say he had a personal testimony. They normally say that your personal testimony, nobody can argue it. It's because of what you have witnessed. And this was Nebuchadnezzar's personal testimony. In the psalm that we read earlier, it said, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. They say you could take a horse to the trough, but you can't make him drink. You can teach people things, but that does not always mean that they will learn from what they have been taught. Nebuchadnezzar's proclamation unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs, the power and wonders, the effect that the High God hath done to me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. He repeated words that he had experienced, but they did not have any meaning to him. It's our testimony when we speak about our life in Christ? Are they just words, or do they mean something? Nebuchadnezzar's proclamation consisted of the revelations of God that had been passed on to him by Daniel, but then he witnessed for himself the miracle in the furnace. The question, there is a change, a wind of change blowing, but how great a change had occurred in the heart and the mind of Nebuchadnezzar? Even in our world today, people hear the proclamation of God. They may attend the service, they may switch the radio on, they hear the word of God being preached, or they may hear a hymn or a song on the radio or in the news or on the internet that speaks of God. What does it mean to them? Is it just, as they say, in one ear and out the other ear? Good and upright of the Lord is revealed. Revealed in the sacrifice of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When they hear about it, it causes them to think about God. But it does not lead to a change. The acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as the Son of God who gave his life as a sacrifice. Verses 4 to 7, Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the implication. Our God is a gracious God who does not deal with us as we deserve, but in accordance with his grace and mercy. Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace. He was resting. He was enjoying a time of peace, tranquility, prosperity. One might say patting himself on the back. How good he was. But this was a courtesy of blessings from Almighty. And again, we see the grace of God. He was enjoying a time of relaxation, prosperity, and this was following his creation of the golden statue and his failure to acknowledge God as the only one worthy of worship and adoration. Our God is a gracious God, but he's also a just God. A God who deals with us according to his will. One might say he was in a time of peace before the storm. During his rest, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that disturbed his peace, a dream that made him afraid. The thoughts and the visions in his head troubled him. His peace and his tranquility disappeared. I mentioned the phrase, lest we forget. Nebuchadnezzar once again turned to the wise men of Babylon, hoping that they would provide him with the interpretation of his dream. The wise men were summoned and ordered to provide Nebuchadnezzar with the interpretation of his dream. The wise men found themselves in a predicament. Previously, Nebuchadnezzar was unable to remember his dream. On this occasion, he remembered his dream and he revealed it to the wise men, the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. In the past, the wise men had provided interpretations that they thought would be pleasing to the king. If you like, they've made up stories that they think would be adaptable to what the dream was, and they know that it would make Nebuchadnezzar happy. On this occasion, they were unable to come up with a story. As the saying goes, they were stumped. They were on total loss. They were unable to provide any interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar. Worth noting, whether by divine intervention or human decision, Daniel was absent when Nebuchadnezzar revealed what he had dreamt to the wise men. Again, the phrase that come up, lest we forget. Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten or chose not to remember that his wise men were not as wise as they thought. They were lacking in certain wisdom. Nebuchadnezzar summons Daniel. On his arrival, Nebuchadnezzar addressed him first by his Hebrew name and then by the Babylonian name he was given, Belshazzar. He acknowledged that there is a difference between the holy God and his or my God. Was that a further indication of the change that was taking place? We also read that he acknowledged Daniel's position. He acknowledged Daniel as the master of the magicians. Now, you may have or may not have noticed that when there is a roll call for the wise men, the magicians are always listed first. This was because of their position in the Babylonian culture. They held the highest rank among the various classes of, if you like, diviners and practitioners of the occult. But we read Daniel was above all the other magicians. We read that Nebuchadnezzar also acknowledged that Daniel's gift of interpretation was a gift from his God. I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Another point noting, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the spirit of the holy God dwelt in Daniel. It is very likely that he recognized that his dream was of an unusual nature, and only someone with unusual gifts would be able to interpret his dream. Which then brings us back to the question, why did he not invite Daniel in the first place? And as I said earlier, was it by divine intervention or human knowledge that Daniel was not at that first meeting? Daniel had previously stated that it was only because of the revelation of God that he was able to interpret the first dream. Nebuchadnezzar requested that Daniel provide him with the interpretation of his current dream. Verses 10 to 15, the dream. Nebuchadnezzar related his dream to Daniel. He saw a tree that stood in the midst of the earth. The tree was very large, both in height and width. It was also very strong. Because of its height, it appeared to reach to the heaven, and because of its width, it could be seen from every corner of the earth. A picture of the Babylonian kingdom and the extent of it. It provided lodging and food for beasts, birds and people. The leaves of the tree were fair and was fruitful. The fruit provided was meat for all. A gracious God provides fruit, food for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs, and all flesh was fed of it. The tree provided food, safety, and security. Along with the visions of the tree, Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision a watcher, and depending on the translation they use, an holy one who came down from heaven. Apparently, a better translation from the original language would be a watcher, evil and holy one. Not a watcher and an holy one, which gives the impression that there's two. It's a watcher, even and holy one. I trust the experts. The holy one commanded the tree be cut down. The beasts were to be driven away from under it, and the fowls from the branches. The tree was not cut down completely. The holy one commanded that a stump with roots be left in the ground. The stump was to be bound with a band of iron and brass, and would exist among the tender grass of the field. The stump would be wet with the dew of heaven, as it survives among the beasts in the grass of the earth. The message from heaven was that tree, great as it was, it will be cut down, but a stump would remain. Its roots would be in the ground. It was to be preserved by a band of iron and brass. The stump would be nurtured by the tender grass and moistened by the dew which comes down from heaven. Verses 16 to 18, a warning shot. In these verses we see a change in the application of the Holy One Watcher's commands. So far the Holy One's address was with regards to a great tree. Now it relates to a man. Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruits. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowl from under his branches. Let his heart be changed from a man to a beast, until seven times had passed. The description of a man who appears to have lost his senses and become like a wild beast, to dwell in the open for 7 years. In Scripture, trees are used figuratively of both men and nations. The nation of Israel is depicted as a vine. We read that in Isaiah chapter 5. It's also depicted as a fig tree, Luke chapter 13. And there's quite a few other references of that. This was the decree of the watchers. The decree was a fixed decision by the authority of heaven, and the demands of the Holy One, a request or a requirement that must be carried out. It could be considered the demand is the outworking of the decree. As I mentioned earlier, it may appear when you read the text that there are two beings who are involved from heaven. It is one angelic being that is in view, and two different aspects are being described. When we're viewing the two aspects, is the watcher refers to what he does, and the Holy One refers to what he is. The Holy speaks of the one who is separated, one who belongs to God. We're once more reminded of God's desire to teach sinners his way. In this case, specifically to Nebuchadnezzar. This was the decree, the sovereign will of God, and therefore the decree of the Holy Ones, his angels. The watcher demands instructions were to teach the living, and the lesson on this occasion, the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whosoever he wills and sets up over it the lowliest of men. That, to me, is very challenging when we think of the men like Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar who were put in power. And when we think of some of the men that we have seen in power during our lives. Nebuchadnezzar, having revealed the dream, requested that Daniel give him the interpretation. And he said, something for us to look forward to on our next visit. The interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream by Daniel. So what can we take away from Nebuchadnezzar's revelations today? We've seen how easy it is to become entwined by our own selfish pride, that even when we are made aware of it, we do not take note of the warning. Nebuchadnezzar had been told about the blessings God had bestowed upon him. Because of his pride, he was not content with God's blessings. He chose to make a golden statue, which his subjects were ordered to worship, and by implication, worship him as a god. We read in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It could be said that he had crossed the outer bounds boundary line. He had experienced the mercy of a gracious God. A warning shot has been fired across his bow in the second dream. He was reminded that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives to whoever he wills, and he sets up the lowliest of men. The God we serve is a gracious and merciful God. We've seen that he does not deal with us as we deserve. Today, we are even more aware of that fact. A gracious God sent his Son into the world so that by the sacrifice of his life, as punishment for our sins, All who choose need no longer receive what they deserve, punishment for their sins, but receive what they do not deserve, forgiveness for their sins. And it might be said that as a bonus, we receive eternal life. Our soul shall dwell at ease. We are made welcome in the presence of the holy, gracious, loving, and merciful God. Divine fellowship with our Father. One final thought. Psalm 25 and verse 12 said, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he, the Lord, teach in the way that he shall choose." There is a fear of dread where someone has done wrong and has a fear of due punishment. But there is also a fear of respect, the natural response of those who have had their sins forgiven. We who know and love the Lord need not have a fear of dread. Rather, let us have a fear of respect for the one who is good and upright. May we all have a fear of respect for the God of heaven, who desires that we all be partakers of his glorious blessings. Amen.